This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an immersive art experience honoring the city's Latin American community, an artistic date with nature, or a clever take on an historic revolution, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. An installation of mixed media drawings on paper by award-winning multidisciplinary artist Jose Torres Tama opens Saturday at the UNO Downtown Gallery in the St. Claude Arts District. The exhibit honors the Latin American immigrant community. It's called Hard Living in the Big Easy, Immigrants and the Rebirth of New Orleans. Jose Torres Tama is here. Welcome back.
Gracias, Diane. I'm always happy to be here.
We're used to seeing you as a performance artist, but this time you were drawing on your visual art background. How did this body of work come about?
Basically, they are inspired by the documentary photographs I've taken of many of the day laborers, the Congress of Day Laborers, and that's the Congreso de Jornaleros. They are the immigrant activist group here fighting for justice and the human rights and dignity of many of our Latin American immigrants who have been a big part of our rebirth and our reconstruction post-Katrina, right? And it's 13 years now. So I began documenting, bringing out the humanity of a people. And one of the ones that I began with in June of 2010 was for Jose Nelson Reyes Zelaya, who was an immigrant El Salvadorian young man, 28 years young, who had been picked up by the New Orleans Police Department. And he was handed over to Immigration Customs Enforcement agents. And within 24 hours of being in their custody, he was pronounced dead. They said that he had committed suicide. So I had heard about the Congress of Day Laborers, and then they presented a big demonstration right out there in front of the offices of ICE on Poydras Street across from City Hall. You had clergy of all kinds, including the Unitarian Church clergy, some imamis, and some priests talking about the life of this El Salvadorian reconstruction worker who just died in the hands of ICE. And ICE has such autonomous power that all they said was that he committed suicide. And by that summer, already in 2010, eight other immigrants had died in the custody of immigration agents, apparently committing suicide. And they didn't even have any further information to give to the El Salvadorian consulate or his family. So the day laborers demonstrated. From there on, I began documenting them. So many of the drawings, the processes where I'm using the photographs to bring out the drawings.
Why is it important for you to tell this story through your art?
As a Latin American immigrant myself, it's important for me to speak the people's truth. I believe that's the job of the writer, the performer, the visual artist. And right now, during this tricentennial, the most neglected truth is that we have been a big part of this rebirth. Thousands upon thousands of immigrant laborers were involved in the rebirth and reconstruction of this city when New Orleans was on its post-Katrina deathbed. So it's very difficult for me to bear witness to the fact that our people are being excluded from this tricentennial. How is it that a program that's supposed to be celebrating this 300-year history is not engaging a Latino community, especially with the long Latin legacy here? As someone who's been deeply invested in this city, and I've lived here for 30 years now, it's difficult and challenging and tragic for me to bear witness to such exclusion, what I call cultural brutal deportation. I'm putting forth this exhibit, and it's called Hard Living in the Big Easy, Immigrants and the Rebirth of New Orleans. It's the title of one of the early National Public Radio commentaries I wrote about the fact that immigrants were coming in and they were having a tough time at it, especially early on, which wage theft, they were being robbed. And that comes up in the exhibit where people were working for 3 weeks and were promised to be paid and then they weren't paid. Contractors would call immigration agents on them, or they would call the police and they would run them away. So with all of these human rights violations against an immigrant community that has given so much to rebuild the city, how is it that they are just culturally excluded and disappeared? So for me, as an artist deeply engaged in social justice, it's my duty.
Take us through the exhibit. What will we see?
An exhibit that's designed as a sacred space with the drawings being part of the installation. We're honoring people with a sacred background. Let's not forget that the Latin American people here are descendants of Aztec, Maya, Zapotec, like myself, Quechua. We are part of the native hemispheric Americas. These are the descendants. So I'm honoring them in a sacred space where people will experience these very dramatic, some in black and white pastels, charcoal and Conti, figurative drawings inspired by the photographs, and some that have really moved into a very expressionistic color palette. All figurative, presenting that humanity and that dignity of our people who have been dehumanized, because no human being is illegal. People may be without papers, right? But no human being is illegal. And the first means to be able to establish genocide or create a war against a people is to dehumanize a people. the entire tricentennial celebrating a slave-owning, native-killing, Choctaw-killing French colonizer. And it's being framed as European discovery. So, like I've asked before, who's receiving those celebrations? Are they inviting the tribes of the Tunica, the Chitimacha, the Atacapa tribes who were all killed, whose blood filled the Mississippi River? So I am presenting an exhibit that honors our people, and you will see experienced figurative drawings that bring forth the humanity. You will experience something that I think will help people further understand one of the most neglected truths about the rebirth of the city in the 13 years post-Katrina, how much brown Latin American people have been a part of it.
Can you describe your style?
Yes. My style is very much involved with Latin American and German expressionism. They're like coming off the page, very dramatic. I use black. I use the color, the pastels, black in a very dramatic way. Some of these pieces began just in black and white, and then they moved into color. And a lot of the faces that you will see, they're life size. The drawings are rather large. So therefore, the portraits of many of the Congress of Day Laborers, the actual workers, they're almost beyond regular size of one's head. And that is to bring out the drama. And many of the figures, while they're holding up signs that say we are human, somos humanos, they're looking directly at the viewer. So the work is very much engaged with figurative expressionism and a very colorful palette that gets even more radical as the pieces have evolved.
Can you describe a few of the works?
Sometimes they have clocks going through the drawings. And the clock symbolizes a number of things. And just the second hand moves. For me, that's the symbol of the beating heart of the immigrant working in the shadows. It's also the symbol, there's a saying from folks with that undocumented status, and some of these terms I just find really challenging and a bit abhorrent, that your time may be up when I sketch you. So it's got this double entendre. And you will also see an experience at the show, a sort of history of anti-immigrant laws. Right in between each drawing, there will be something like the Fugitive Slave Act, Indian Removal Act, Chinese Exclusion Act, Operation Wetback, Mexican Repatriation, Japanese Internment. These will all be within the middle of the spacing in the gallery of the drawings.
In addition to the exhibit, you have some special events on opening night.
Yes. Roberto Carrillo, who's a Mexican artist, composer, singer, and a specialist in Andean folk music, will be performing intermittently a beautiful soundscape of Andean music using the charango, which is a special guitar, panpipes, and the flute. And he'll create this soundscape walking through at different times during the opening. And Shombi Shanti will be doing the videos. There's going to be an area where there's going to be a video installation of some of the work in process and some of the ideas behind the show and naming a number of these anti-immigrant laws that have been part of U.S. history, right? From Three-Fifths Human to the Fugitive Slave Act all the way up to SB 1070 and the recent zero-tolerance immigration policy at the border in June. So in essence, I'm trying to create an experience that goes beyond just static art images on a wall.
Multidisciplinary artist Jose Torres Tama, thanks.
Gracias.
Hard Living in the Big Easy opens Saturday, September 8th at the UNO Downtown Gallery, 2429 St. Claude Avenue, with an evening reception from 6 until 9. The show runs through October 7th. More info is online at torrestama.com/art. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. An arts experience in the country just a half hour from New Orleans will signal the end of summer in a creative way. Artist talks, live arts demonstrations, and guided birding tours are just some of the activities that will unfold at the final summer second Sunday at Crevasse 22 River House in Poydras, Louisiana. The event is hosted by the Creative Alliance of New Orleans. Spokesperson Maggie Mullins is here with details, and avian biologist Katie Percy joins us by phone. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
This sounds like a fun experience in an area that may not be that well known to the general public. Tell us about this property. What is Crevasse 22 River House?
So Crevasse 22 River House is an environmental art space in St. Bernard Parish. It's technically in Poydras, Louisiana, and it was started during Prospect 3 in 2014, I believe, as a sculpture garden by Sidney Torres, a lawyer and longtime St. Bernardian. he started as a sculpture garden, and then it was very successful and people loved it. And so he started to put art on the inside of the house. And it's just a really beautiful, unique art space in St. Bernard Parish. And it's really one of its kind, definitely in St. Bernard, and one of its kind in Louisiana as an environmental art space.
How did it get its name?
It's right on the crevasse, and so it's Crevasse 22. Not sure about the 22, but then River House, because it's the house on the river. So Crevasse 22 is the sculpture garden, and then River House is the house.
And the crevasse being a levee breach?
Yes, levee breach.
How did it inspire these summer art events?
Well, we were thinking of a way where we could invite people out and kind of be a part of the second Saturdays that are in the Bywater, because Araby is kind of connected to the Bywater in their cultural arts district. And so we thought second Sundays would be a great idea. And so Jean and I kind of thought about it and thought that would be a good way to invite people out.
And you're talking about Jean Nathan, the executive director.
Jean Nathan is the executive director of the Creative Alliance of New Orleans. And she has partnered with Sydney Torres on this project.
Now, describe this coming Sunday's experience. What can we look forward to?
Something that you'll definitely experience when you head out is the incredible space of the River House in the Crevasse 22 Sculpture Garden. It was the house of an old friend of Sydney Torres's, and he passed away, and then Sydney Torres bought this house and gutted it on the interior and made it kind of a more modern house, but kept all of the bones of it. You know, it's a really incredible house, and it's got this beautiful wooden spiral staircase that's kind of the centerpiece of it. And right now we have an exhibit called Migration, focuses on the way that birds have been affected by climate change and litter and their environments being tampered with. And we have beautiful pieces from artists like Pip and Frisbee Calder. We have expert duck carvers, and we have a room that is filled with carved ducks, and they're pretty intricate and exquisite. And it's all kind of showcased by this beautiful house that has a ton of natural light, and it's really a sight to see, something you wouldn't expect.
And Katie, you're joining us by phone. You're an avian biologist. What's going to be your role? And tell us a little bit about the birding tours.
We're entering fall migration, so there's really any number of species that we may encounter, which is always really exciting to not quite know what's going to be there. This is wildlife, right? So there are many species that breed further north of this location, and they are going to be passing through South Louisiana this time of year as they make their way to their wintering grounds. So we have warblers that are coming through, any number of species, flycatchers and vireos. And then there are the species that do occur in this area year-round. And so we can spend some time going through those local resident species that maybe people aren't as familiar with or don't know their calls yet, don't know the name of that individual that they've been seeing for, you know, the majority of their life or the majority of the summer. So northern cardinals, mockingbirds, blue jays. But then the water is also nearby. So we can encounter any number of gulls and terns, but also egrets and herons. There's quite a species diversity that's possible for this area.
Is it a tour of the grounds, or are you going into wooded areas to birdwatch?
Maggie?
Yeah, I can speak a little bit more about that. So Crevasse sits on a really large piece of land, and there is the sculpture garden, and then to the right of the sculpture garden, there's a big, like, unexpectedly long trail that kind of winds through the property, and it's a little nature trail, and then it takes you out by the water and the sculpture garden.
I will bring a set of binoculars. I have about 6 or more, and those will be available for people to use during the bird walk.
Tell us about some of the artists that are involved and a little bit about their work.
Yeah. Gene Koss is one of them. He's a sculptor, and he does these really beautiful glass and metal pieces. He has one in our sculpture garden, and he grew up on a farm in Wisconsin. We also have Carolyn Summers, who has a piece of photography of, I believe it's wild herons on Esplanade. There's some Robert Tannen pieces. He has a mod gun, a modern shotgun model in the sculpture garden, and it's really cool. You can kind of go in and interact with it. He's another piece called Floodgate. The political nature of that is pretty obvious. Those are some top ones.
So art definitely meets nature in this adventure.
Yeah. Even the art inside interacts with nature. We have a whole gallery filled with hand-carved ducks, and we also have ducks that people from the St. Bernard Arts Guild painted in our water.
And you also have some hands-on activities for budding artists?
Yes. We have a couple of these decoys that are left that we can paint, and also are going to have an art table outside for people to draw inspiration.
So where exactly is Crevasse 22 River House, and how do we get there?
So Crevasse 22 River House is in Poydras, Louisiana, which is about 30 minutes from New Orleans. Go all the way down St. Bernard Highway, and you'll hit a blue and green snowball stand, and that is where you take a right. And it's very, very bright. neon green. You take a right and then another immediate right onto Saro Lane. And then there's a big sign that says Crevasse 22 River House. And the gate will be open. And then you go down this kind of beautiful catwalk of different kinds of sculptures.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie Mullins with the Creative Alliance of New Orleans and avian biologist Katie Percy. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Summer Sunday in the Country at Crevasse 22 River House in Porges, Louisiana will take place on Sunday, September 9th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 8122 Saro, S-A-R-O, Lane. It is free and open to the public. Four powerful women will take over the Great Hall at the New Orleans Museum of Art as the NOLA Project presents playwright Lauren Gunderson's The Revolutionist. It's a female-powered comedy set during the French Revolution. We have a full house. Cast members Amy Alvarez, Grace Kennedy, and Monica Harris are here. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
This takes place during the French Revolution. What attracted you to this work?
Well, who doesn't love a lot of guillotine action, Diane? And there is quite a bit of guillotine action in the play.
So, Amy, you started. What's the storyline?
It concerns four very exciting real-life women. Olympe de Gouges, that's the character I play. She was a feminist playwright during the French Revolution. Charlotte Corday, who was Grace.
Hi, played by me, Grace.
Right. And she murdered Jean-Paul Marat in his bathtub, and that was quite an incendiary moment for the Revolution. Leslie Clavery plays Marie Antoinette, and of course we all love Marie Antoinette. And Monica...
I actually play a composite character. Her name is Marianne Angèle, and she was inspired by many different Haitian freedom and rebel fighters during the Haitian Revolution.
And what attracted you to your roles? Why did you want to do this?
This is Amy. It's so exciting to have really wonderful, strong roles for women, women who are making history, a part of history, and of course there's lots of really interesting parallels to current times as well.
Yeah, this is Grace. I love historical-based plays. I think historical fiction is a really fascinating form to delve into. This woman that I'm playing, Charlotte Corday, a real person but reimagined through this theatrical lens by Lauren Gunderson. So it's a really interesting sort of layering of character and theater.
This is Monica. The play is very quick-witted, fast-paced, incredibly funny, but also touches on really poignant topics that I think are completely and immediately relevant to the here and now.
So what are the themes being tackled in the play?
The role of women within society. I would think that's the most prevalent one. Since each woman, all four of us, come from extremely different backgrounds, we each have very individual stakes within the story. But what makes us all united as sisters, which is another theme of the play, the importance of sisterhood and camaraderie among women, is that we each face adversity simply for our gender.
So can you tell us more about how your characters interact?
The play opens with Olympe de Gouges. This is Amy, my character again. And she's trying to write a play about the French Revolution. And she wants to do something exciting and something that is world-changing and affect a lot of people. But also she has a lot of questions within herself about just how involved does she want to get? Because if you get too involved, then you end up being executed. So as she is trying to create this play, these three strong women come into her life to assist her with this. And that would be her friend Marianne, an anti-slavery crusader, Charlotte Corday, the Mary murderess, and, and of course, Marie Antoinette will take over any room. And so Olympe de Gouges is trying to figure out just what to do with these strong, interesting women who have come into her life and how will they impact her art. And this is all set against the background of a constant threat of being taken away, of being sent to the scaffold. If you publish something that the current group in power doesn't like, they will kill you. If you go against them, they will kill you. So it's very risky. And then on top of that, the whole idea that even though France is fighting for equality, that does not extend to women. And that's a really serious point for Olympe, to the point that she actually writes a declaration for the rights of women and the female citizen. The first article of that is woman is born free and lives equal to the man. And that doesn't go over too well.
And through all of this, as we're fighting on this grand political stage, there are very real human connections that are starting to form in the most unlikely of places. I come storming into Olamp's room, demanding that she write me my last words because I know I'm going to die. And I'm very strong at first, not in an inviting way, but we form very human, real relationships. It shows in, you know, the darkest of times, some real beauty can emerge.
This is Monica here. In regards to my character, again, Marianne Angèle is a composite character, which I think was a very important choice that Lauren Gunderson made, mainly for the fact that when I personally, as an actor, was exploring the history of the Haitian Revolution and all the vital women who contributed to the cause and were solely responsible for the freedom of their fellow citizens, slaves, they were not documented well. There were very few women that I knew by name, very few specific accounts. And I feel that my character, Marianne Angèle's presence, signifies the importance of naming them and knowing and acknowledging just how vital of a role that they played in the history of emancipating an entire nation of people that was solely founded on the concept of slavery, of oppression, and seeing that liberation to fruition. It wouldn't have been possible without those women.
Tell us a little bit about the playwright, Lauren Gunderson. She's on fire right now.
She sure is. This is Amy. She is the most produced living playwright in America right now. And The Revolutionist is a very hot play. We're so excited to be doing it.
How does the work connect with today's political scene?
I think in today's political scene, an argument can be made about the silencing of women's voices and the oppression of different classes of people, and I think that those themes are going to resonate heavily with today's audiences. The play deals with some pretty heavy themes, but I want to remind the folks who are listening that this is a comedy, and it is riotously funny. I mean, there's a lot to chew on and a lot to unpack in the piece, but it is funny, and you're going to have a good time.
Cast members Amy Alvarez, Grace Kennedy, and Monica Harris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
The NOLA Project presents Lauren Gunderson's The Revolutionist, directed by Joanna Russo. Performances run through September 16th in NOMA's Great Hall. More info at NOLAproject.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.